Well, it's a great day today. Today my message is over the gift of grandparenting. And yes, I'm a new granddad, and Kish is a new grandmother. And amen, hallelujah. So it was appropriate. It just worked out that way for this weekend. Little Waylon, he was born Friday night about 7 o'clock, a little after 7. And they had to take him by cesarean. Larry wanted to give natural birth, but things just didn't work out this time for her. She said, God, let me feel some contractions, and she said that was almost his sign saying, I know you want to give naturally, but you're just not built that way right now. I'm going to let you feel a little bit about what it's like. So she delivered. They took Waylon Friday night, and he's just a little bitty fella. I didn't send out a picture on the church text because he looked like a shriveled raisin, but because the picture they sent me, that it was like, they just got him out. But Kish and I went up there last night to introduce Roy to his new brother, and I had a chance to get a better picture. I think we have him on screen here. There he is. I better not look at that. I get choked up. little Waylon Dill. And they'll be coming home today at noon. Kish and I have been watching Roy. He's just been an absolute joy to us. Keeps us in laughter. It's a beautiful time. But we want to thank you for you taking time, coming this morning and celebrating our worship time. Spencer, as always, you did a great job leading the worship. Thank you so much. And thank you all for taking time to come up and spending time with your church family. Last week, Pastor Adam spoke about following God's purpose in your life by his message, Be Healed. And it was a joy to see so many of you come up for special prayer at the end of service. It was like that's the way it's meant to be. If you have things in your life you want to be prayed for, don't be embarrassed. Don't hold back. Come up and we had the elders up here praying for you. Pastor Adam and I were praying for you. The prayer ministers, prayer intercessory prayer partners were praying over people. It was a beautiful time. So never hold back for special prayer. But Pastor Adam brought out a point in his message by stating sometimes our focus becomes off just a little. And as Grandparents' Day was approaching, I thought that this is true. And this is what makes grandparents so great, is they help you get refocused. Would you agree with that? Sometimes, you can just become so overwhelmed with life that when you go to the grandparents, they either take your mind off the worry or they help you refocus with their wisdom and help you gain a clearer understanding. He also stated that sometimes our healing is needed because of the things that we did upon ourselves. Isn't that true also? Circumstances aren't always to blame for the things that happen in our lives for healing that is needed because of sometimes the things that we do. And again, I thought that, as grandparents, these are great icons in our lives to help us or to show us to keep from doing the things that we shouldn't do. Because it's one thing hearing mom and dad tell you, but it's another thing that the grandparents, they have a different viewpoint from that of their parents, and they can often have that advantage in approaching it from a different angle in our life. So this morning, I would just like to speak to you just a little bit about the gift of grandparenting, and then you all are going to finish the message out for me today through your testimonies. So as we begin our worship in the Word this morning, please join me if you have your Bibles in your hand or whatever device you may use to look up Scripture. Josh probably will throw it up on the screen as well. Let's all start out this morning by shouting out Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Father, as we stand in awe of your goodness and mercy today, we invite you to be present among us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've made a way through love through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would reveal this great love to us today as we gather to worship in the Word that you have given us. May our hearts overflow with thanksgiving this morning and our mouths proclaim your everlasting greatness. In your wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And also, I have a late announcement from Pastor Adam that Joyce and Will Newton, birthdays today, September 10th. Happy birthday. Wow, we need to get that on the screen up there. And prayer night is Tuesday the 19th, not the 20th. I forgot the date on that. I look at the calendar when I make those things. Tuesday the 19th is when that is. Well, as earlier today, I stated that today is National Grandparents Day. National Grandparents Day was originated by Marion McQuaid and her husband, Joe. They were residents of Fayette County, West Virginia, and the parents of 15 children, grandparents of 40 grandchildren, and great-grandparents of 8. And in 1973, she began a campaign, a five-year campaign, to launch the first Sunday after Labor Day being National Grandparents Day. And so she got this passed through Congress, and September was chosen. She chose September to honor grandparents because it symbolized the autumn years of our life. And President Jimmy Carter, of course, signed the proclamation. But I just have to say today that most grandparents have a special place in their hearts for grandchildren. A preacher friend once said, he said, "My grandkids are grand when they come, and they're grand when they leave." And so grandparents can also identify with the verse in Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 6, which reads, "Children's children are a crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father." Amen? I mean, the Bible speaks a great deal about the parental and the grandparental responsibilities in our lives regarding children. I mean, let's consider a few verses in God's Word to show us. According to the Bible, teaching the next generations is so crucial for parents and grandparents to do. Because I believe that's what happens a lot of times nowadays, is they just do not pass down their spiritual heritage to their children. Psalms 145, verse 4 reinforces this by, it's an important passage that reads, "One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts." And what that just simply says is, you know, tell your grandkids and your kids about what God has done in your life. And so, therefore, each generation is to pass on the praise and the knowledge of God to the next. And the reason for this being is Proverbs 1:7 says, "Where the wise man tells us that the starting place of knowledge is fearing and respecting God." Now, that's not to say to become so scared of God that you're afraid of what he might do to you, but fear is a type of respect of God. It reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And it amazes me out there are so many people still that have a hard time believing God is the creator of the universe. They have a hard time believing that Jesus died. They believe he died, but they have a hard time believing that he was raised from the dead on the third day and conquered death to give us eternal life. Proverbs 22:6 also instructs parents to train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, while this is generally a true statement, it includes nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, it doesn't say when this will happen. This may if you raise up your child in church, it may happen after you're gone and after you've gone to glory, after you've left this earth. And I've shared with you many times about the story of my best friend Marty and his mom, what happened there. So many times we may not see that on this earth happen. It may happen long after. But it also expresses how parents should adapt their teaching to each of their children. because each one does have a different personality. As you can see, David chasing his brother around here. Everyone has a different personality. And that's what makes each one so special, because each child learns differently, and parents who know their children would be wise to adjust their methods to see that each child learns differently. You can't just do a blanket thing for both kids and expect them to get it. Child with athletic abilities, of course, needs a different approach from learning than a child with artistic abilities that's more quieter and is more artistic. I like the story of the grandmother trying to reinforce some basic instructions for her granddaughter. Grandma Bessie was at home babysitting her grandchildren, and Bessie wondered just how much her 3-year-old granddaughter had learned. So what she did is she picked up a box of crayons and she began to test to see if she had learned the colors yet. So what she would do is she would pull a crayon out of the box and ask her granddaughter, "What color is this?" And the granddaughter would tell her what color it was. And, of course, the granddaughter was always right. And finally, after a while, the little granddaughter slid off the porch swing and headed to the door. And she turned over her shoulder and she said, "Grandma," she said, "I think you need to try to figure out some of these on for yourself." Now, our grandchildren may not always understand what we're trying to accomplish, but we still try to train them anyway and find creative ways to do it. The story of God's providence in our personal walk with Him can be very dramatic and impactful to our grandchildren. There was a man who grew up in Abilene, Texas, and he said when he was a boy, a grandfather-like elder of the church in his congregation told him that he would be a minister to the Lord someday. And he later said that that statement just stuck with him his whole life when that elder told him that. And he ended up serving on the staff of his congregation and later became one of its shepherds. That grandfather figure pictured an impactful future for the man, and he lived up to it. Because you see, all of us in here hunger for the approval and acknowledgement of people and things in our lives. And our grandchildren are no different. Your words that you say to them can help propel them to greater heights than you even imagine. Because words do stick. And grandparenting is more than just fun and games with your grandchildren. It's more than babysitting. It's rather a time to influence their lives with the things of God that's happened in ours, and how He has influenced in our lives. And of course, you can't take a 2-year-old child like Roy and sit him down to explain what the things of God has done in your life. He's not going to comprehend that, but he is watching you, what you do. Laren said that, I think last Sunday, little Roy was just singing his heart out during praise and worship. Probably didn't know what he was saying. May have been speaking in tongues, I don't know. But he was just enjoying the praise and worship. And he especially loved Susie's piano playing. And so I thank you for that. If you've never shared your testimony of how you came to know Christ with anyone, because you're maybe too intimidated or maybe the opportunity hasn't presented it to you in your life yet, then your grandchildren are perfect listening ears, because they're not going to make fun of you. They're not going to turn you away. They're all ears. It's an occasion to show them and let them see God's hand in creation and His providence in our history and in your personal history, as well as our nation's history and how it's affected that. I remember my grandmother, as she told stories of growing up in the Depression era and selling water to people by the roadside and how things were rough and they all had to pitch in as the families in order for them to survive. You know, when a young grandchild is hearing this from their grandparent, all kinds of pictures and images come to their minds of what that was like. I also remember my grandmother trying to, she taught me the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, in telling me that Bible story. Still remember her teaching me that. So as grandparents, let us teach our grandchildren and let us give them an inheritance from the Lord that He has given us. Let us bless them with a meaningful touch and encouraging words that attach high value in their lives, which will fulfill our blessing to them. Now, I also know that some of you here today may not be a grandparent, but I want you to know this. Many look to you as if you were a grandparent, maybe without you even knowing it. The words that you say to these children in here that you see and hear, and the words that you say to our youth to encourage them and to guide the children and the younger ones in our church family to help know who God is. These young ones are continually watching us. You may not be aware of it, but your smile, your words, your dedication, your commitment to come to church Sunday after Sunday, man, that speaks volumes to them. And they see that. They see that. And it sticks. So let's live a life worth of devotion and service and commitment. And let us cherish the gift of grandparenting, not only just to become babysitters to help relieve our parents, the parents from time to time, but try to be a nightlight in helping our youth and our children, our young ones, a nightlight to help guide their path whenever their world seems dark at times. And I don't know, but I still sleep with a nightlight because I don't want to get up and stub my toe on something. And these things are like, they're not bright, but they're there. They provide just enough light for you to see your path along the way. For us to look for opportunities to teach, and also maybe a chance to brush up on our crayon colors while you're at it. So at this time, what I'd like to do is I'd like to open it up to the grandparents of our church. Or even to the children or the grandchildren, the youth would like to speak a testimony about grandparents, how grandparents have helped them. So I know I've talked with some of you before, so if you want to come up this time and we'll give you the microphone and let you just speak what God lays on your heart about grandparents. And I'm going to stand close to you so the Facebook microphone, for those listening online, can kind of hear you as well.
I'm getting it over. I've typed it up and I can't find it, so I got the... I'm a storyteller anyway. I have four. The first two, a boy and a girl, 18 months apart. Then they waited 4 years. Then they waited 4 years and they had a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. I'm going to speak about the baby girl. The first two, I'll have to say, when they came out, it was a hard birth, and they looked like aliens more than babies. But in a few days, they became beautiful. I told God, we'll take them, but you're not finished. And he wasn't. But the last one, Victoria Elizabeth Taylor, two queen names. I went to the nursery and I looked in that nursery and I said, my God, whose baby is this? And our aunt said, Miss Taylor, she's ours. I say, since when did we get a baby to look like that? And I wonder, what all did this baby have to say? Well, she came to the house when she was 5 years old. And her brother had promised to let her use his Game Boy. Now, I don't know the difference. She had a Game Boy. He had one. But he had something on his that she didn't have. And she was just crying out, Grandma, please, he promised me to let me play his game on his Game Boy. I didn't know what to do with that. I said, Victoria, do you have it in writing? And she said, no. I said, well, baby, you don't have a leg to stand on. I said, well, let me show you how to take care of that situation if it happens again. Grandma's going to teach you how to write a contract, and it's called a promissory note. And with this promissory note, all you need is a date, what it's about, and two signatures, yours and the other person's. She was interested. She got busy learning that contract. She went home, and she put everybody in the family under contract. And her mama called. She said, what is this Victoria's learning? I said, she learned how to write a contract. And she said, you put all of us under contract. And then later she told me, she said, Grandma, one day I'm going to be a courtroom lawyer, and then I'm going to run for senator. So with that, I say, take time to listen to the dreams of your children, because you may have a have a part in it, and you may be able to pray them through.
Amen. Thank you, Thelma. That's fantastic. Thank you.
So we have 7 grandchildren. We, our youngest is age 6. Our oldest turned 15 yesterday. When they come to us, we're really all about giving them breaks on the rules that they have at home so that they can be freer to be themselves, to express themselves, spend a lot of time in the kitchen baking and the craft room, sewing and crafts, teaching them things that they wouldn't learn in school, basically. Teaching them social skills, math skills, science skills, without them even knowing it. we have 3 13-year-olds, and they are all so completely different. We just have a great time with them. They are such a joy to our hearts. And that's about it for me.
So basically, we try to teach them to love God, to respect others. It reminds us of our younger days so that we can express to them how we grew up and, to be out in the world today. And basically, teach them how to take care of us when we get older. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony and Tina. You bring a great point. You know, so many times we forget what we've done in our lives, in our past, and, you know, we can look back with that. You know, parents get so busy trying to raise their children that the grandparents have an advantage because they've lived that life. And so they're not so much worried about that anymore as so that they can look back with calmness and patience and look at their child, grandchild, to see the overall perspective. Because parents are just trying to keep life going. And they get lost in that a lot of times. And grandparents just sit back and enjoy the blessings.
Well, I guess most of you know I have, I've lost count, 13 or 14 grandkids and 6 great-grandkids are just everywhere. So, but when they were younger, the oldest one will be 31 next month, and the youngest is 10. So there's quite a difference there in how they are brought up and the different generations. And my oldest, Josh, who will be 31, he was at the house one time. We were cooking steaks. He said, Grandma, did you know a cow had to die so we could eat? I said, yeah. I said, because God made the cow so you and I could eat. So it's a good thing. He goes, oh, okay. Just different things. And when Mark and I lived in Springfield with all those grandkids, I would come get 4 or 5, take them back up there for 2 weeks, bring them back, bring the next generation up. And it was fun. Mark was working and I got to stay home with the grandkids. And I was when he got home. It's your turn. But they're precious. They are so precious and enjoyed every minute and still enjoy them. They're all grown now. They don't come around much, but they're very precious. When I just moved lately, I just, grandboys, okay, Grandma, we're there. And I had four or five of them come help me. So they're just precious, and I just love them.
Amen. Thank you, Jan. You know, and there's a lot of truth to that, because sometimes grandparents just can calm the ease of grandchildren. I remember spending the night with my grandmother, and I remember watched this some show on TV back then, and had a lot of tarantulas in it. And I was sleeping in bed with her, and I said, I'm scared of those tarantulas. And she just calmly said, Eric, there's no tarantulas in Oklahoma. I said, okay, that's good. And I could sleep then. Now, later, when I got older, it's like, wait a minute. But grandparents can put that soothing effect on grandchildren.
It's great being a grandparent. We have eight, and number nine will be here in February. We have three boys, five girls. Don't know what number nine is going to be yet. But the greatest thing of it is growing up in a Christian home is, and I'm trying to bestow this upon my, I did this with my daughters. I've done this. I'm trying to bestow it with my grandkids. Is my dad was a preacher, and anytime I ever needed prayer, I could always call my dad. No matter, he could be anywhere. It didn't matter. He would pray for me. And I'm always praying for my grandkids and my kids. And it's just a great feeling knowing that you get to see them come to church. I see Atlas and Aurora every night and everything. And then when Matt and Caitlin do come to church, Tinley looked at me one time. It really hit hard, or it hit me deep, was she told me she wanted to learn to play the drums, just like Grandpa. And it's a great thing to have grandkids. You know, there's sometimes they get on your nerves. They can drive you up the wall, but they're still the greatest thing. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I've got seven granddaughters. The oldest is Lainey, and she's 23, and the youngest is Jameson, and she's 5. And then there's Katie, that's 19. I've got Madeline, she lives in Colorado, and Audrey, her little sister. And they're 15 and 12. I have to keep track. And then Riley and Kennedy are 15 and 12. But the other two are in Colorado, are a little bit older than them, but still the same. But anyway, I've had a kind of a special blessing because I've had 5 of my grandkids have lived next door at one time or another in my grandmother's old house. And it was kind of like I got to do that when I was little. My parents lived on 5 acres at the end, and my grandma lived at the front, and so I would catch the bus at my grandma's house. So I would stop at her house every morning and stop at her house every evening. Well, it's kind of being repeated a little bit with the next generation because PJ and his wife, Sarah, have moved back from Georgia, and they're living in grandma's old house again. And so I get to see at least 3 of the grandkids, not every day, but almost every day. And I get to see the 5-year-old quite often because she likes to just come over and she plays with toys that her parents played with when they were little and gets to see what it was like, you know, not having a Game Boy or I can't even think what they call them now. Yeah, Nintendo. Oh, yeah. We have a Switch that she's trying to teach us how to use. In fact, she wants to play with Charlie because he's better than I am. So but it's just a joy having them nearby. And the 5-year-old, it was definitely, there's several years between her and the and Kennedy. Kennedy's 12 and Jameson's 5. And so I've got to spend a lot more time with Jameson, and it's been a beautiful experience, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. But she likes to say the prayer at dinner. She will pray for everybody that they don't get sick and that they are safe, and that the thank you for the food, and then it goes on a little while. So But it's just precious to see her do that. So I've really, since I retired, I've enjoyed having more time to spend with them. So it's, and with Lainey, she's 23. I don't get to see her very much, but I've kind of had a blessing. I get to watch her on TV sometimes because she plays as a catcher for Wichita State. So she's got, this is her last year to do that. So I'm going to try to travel around and be with her a little bit too. So anyway, they're a blessing, and you never know what effect you're having on them until you start seeing them, you see it in their life. So just keep pouring good things into them.
Amen. Amen. I remember Susie's grandmother that she talks about, and what I remember of her, I don't think I've ever heard her talk, but I do remember seeing her in church all the time. And here again, that commitment. They watch, and I remember that, and it was precious of Susie's grandmother. And speaking about the video games, it's funny, it's sad when your grandchildren have to let you win a game, because I can't beat Roland in any of those games, and he got tired of me not wanting to play with him because I'd never win, so he started letting me win. So yeah, grandchildren are a real joy, and they do have a heart.
Okay, when Eric asked us to speak, I think I might have overthought what I was going to say, but I this morning, God put a lot on my heart, and some of it does relate to this church. But our journey as grandparents began in 1990. We have a total of 27 grandkids, 15 are grandkids, 4 are bonus grandkids, and 8 are great grandkids. Each one of them is unique, and we do pray for them to accomplish great things. All 15 of our grandchildren have known personally the love and prayers from our church family since the March of 2001. 4 of our great-grandkids have been to church here on many occasions and were welcomed with love. It is our prayer and hope that each one of them will grow in Christ and know a more personal relationship with Him. 4 of our oldest grandkids were active in King's Kids and Ground Zero, and 2 of our grandkids attended Falls Creek and have fond memories of their experiences there. The most recent one was our grandson, Mac. He went down there. He's kind of a quiet, withdrawn child. But when he went down there, he found that fishing was his niche. And he made a lot of friends outside of our church and in our church through his fishing experiences there. And he was encouraged every day by someone to get his stick and his string and go down and catch some fish. But Proverbs 22:6 says each child is unique and their talents are different, and what they bring to the world is that's my take on it. It is priceless. But and in Proverbs 24, saying 21, it says by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it's established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. And our as grandparents, I think our part is to help them develop their gifts and their talents so that they can fill our world with those talents and treasures.
I'm kind of scared to give this to Vern.
I'm the fun grandpa.
Is this? Yes. This is on, right? Okay.
Yeah. I'm the fun grandpa. I get to wrestle with them when they come over, or we go over there, and it's just it's fantastic to hear them kids say grandpa or papa. And it just makes me feel so fantastic every time I say it. And to be able to, like, we had Benny and Elliot this last weekend, and that little meathead, Benny, he just, Grandma called, Kathy called their house one time, or here about a week ago, and then Benny was acting up, and then Kathy, she said, said, Benny, I'm at the door. I'm going to be in there in a minute. And he turned around and looked at his mama and says, I'm sorry, Mama, I love you. And she's such a fantastic grandma voice. She puts them in her place, and they don't argue back with her. I'm trying to teach them things. I've tried to teach Mike how to do things with his hands, and they just love coming out in the garage and working with me. They just eat it up. But it's I'm not a punisher. I play.
He's a player. Vern has so many creative names for his grandchildren. I've heard curtain climbers, ankle biters, crumb catchers. He always has a name for his grandchildren, and it's hilarious.
Well, she passed that right on to me. You know, Eric mentioned about refocusing, and many of you mentioned that grandchildren look at you, and we have three grandchildren. And, you know, the craziest thing is little Atlas looks, those of you that were around when Austin was growing up, looks just like Austin. And you probably do the same thing. Some of you struggle to remember the grandkids' names and ages, and I call Atlas Austin and Austin Atlas all the time. And it gets kind of crazy, but I thought, you know, regardless of the situation that these kids are born into, each one is precious in the sight of God and should be to us as well. And I remember doing Atlas's dedication, and I thought, I'm doing great. I'm not crying. And I got to the end. One paragraph left, and I said, church. And then I went, will you help us? Help them raise this child. And I'm here to tell you that this church has helped raise that child and other children. And Aurora came after that, of course, but that was when I was doing Atlas's dedication. And I thought, that's what church is, helping us raise each other's children and families and being there for each other's families. I love being a grandparent. And Eric told me how great it was, and my twin brother told me how great it was. And I thought, okay, good deal. You don't understand until you have grandchildren. You say, oh, how great is this? And it's wonderful. And it's wonderful to see them grow up. And it's wonderful. You know, Vern, as you said, I like to go out there and teach them things. And they love coming out there and helping you, no matter what it is. Helping speak into these grandchildren's lives and being there for them. Susie, you talked about going to the game. I love that. I love being there for them. I love this church being there for our grandchildren that come here, for all the kids that come here. And I love seeing generation after generation come here. And Laren, now to add one more child into that and into this family and into this fold. And that's somebody else that we have to help raise and nurture. And I love that aspect of it. I don't care how old I am. I love being a grandparent, young or old. But again, these children are precious in the sight of God. And these children are precious in my sight as well.
Thank you.
That's it. All right. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for your testimonies. They mean the world. They mean the world. As the worship team makes its way to the stage, I just want to say it is so special to be part of a church that's loving and giving and understanding as our church is. Adam was right. We do have to help raise them. Even if you're not a grandparent, you still have an important role. Jessica, you're next. That'll be the next child that'll be coming. I believe in what, February next year? Okay. So church, amen. Amen. Church, you have a vital role in this. These kids around here feel so loved, and when you see them running around, you hear their squeals of laughter, and you guys, the patience level that you have is incredible. You know, it saddens me when I see stories of churches that, you know, send the deacons out to quiet the parent, have the parents quiet their children or perhaps guide them out. Now, there's times and places for extremes, but I believe a parent knows when to do that. But kids are going to be kids. And for all of us who are here today, and the whole Christian church as a whole, There's one person in whom we're blessed more than anyone else. There's one grandchild and child who blesses us above all others. And that person is Jesus Christ. Because He is God Himself. He is the Son of God the Father. But because He became a man as us, became one of us, He is also the Son of Mary. And so Jesus had grandparents as well. And He also had great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents. And He is the one grandchild in whom we're all blessed. And it's in Him that Psalms 103, verse 17 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and His righteousness to His children's children." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, died for your sins and my sins to forgive us. And He rose again to give us eternal life. And in Him, all of us are blessed eternally. That's the message to share to our grandchildren, to share to our children, and our children's children here at Prayer of Faith, as well as all over the world. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank You for our wonderful grandparents who bring us such joy and happiness in our lives. And just thank You for the special times that we have with them. The ways that our grandparents have helped us and made us strong in our lives, for this we give thanks. For the way they love us no matter what. For we can do no wrong in the eyes of grandparents. And we thank You and we rejoice in that. And for the ways that they have paved the road that led us to where we are today. We're very grateful. We're very grateful for that, Father. Let them grow in wisdom and joy in life. And let them find peace and rest from their work. Father, let them be healed of every sickness and pain that they have. And let them see in their own eyes Your glory. And we ask that You please watch over them and to protect them and to care for them now. May they know Your goodness and may they know Your love always. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of the church.